for help in finding a suspect still at large. He's seen on surveillance video wearing white clothes and got away after the explosions. More than 250 people were injured. This is USA Radio News. Breaking news on USARadio.com.
In college sports, team colors play a powerful role in every aspect of the game, from team jerseys to mascots to game day gear. We caught up with ESPN college basketball analyst and official LG color commentator, Jay Billis, for tips on using color to create the ultimate game day experience during March Madness.
For me, the ultimate game day experience comes down to three things, and the first is how you watch the games. Step it up with a screen that makes you feel like you're courtside. LG's OLED TVs are stunning, delivering perfect blacks and over 1 billion colors that are truly lifelike. TVs like these make watching from home even better. Brand new stats from LG Electronics and verified by Elias Sports Bureau show that teams wearing blue and red jerseys have made it to and won the most championship games over the last 30 years. Check out more team color stats at lggameday.com.
Sometimes game day foods get messy.
You got to protect your game day gear, which makes products like LG's Twin Wash Washer that can wash two loads at the same time a slam dunk. You can always be confident your team colors won't get tainted with that infamous red sock.
You can do game day right by incorporating some of these fun, colorful tips into your March Madness experience.
Donald Trump is threatening to sue over the portion of delegates he's receiving in Louisiana from the state's primary. He won that primary, but Ted Cruz got more delegates, scooping up some from Marco Rubio. Meanwhile, the two men continue their personal free-for-all on the campaign trail. National correspondent Joe Gomez has more.
Republican presidential candidates Donald Trump and Ted Cruz are continuing their personal free-for-all.
He's got a problem with the National Enquirer. I have no control over the National Enquirer. I didn't even know about the story.
Trump appeared on ABC's This Week and said Cruz is to blame for starting the verbal war that led to a report in the National Enquirer about the Texas senator's supposed marital infidelities. Trump defended he had nothing to do with the report. Cruz on Fox News Sunday called the story garbage and said that Trump and his henchmen were responsible.
These are complete made-up lies. They're garbage.
I'm Joe Gomez.
This is USA Radio News. Breaking news on USARadio.com.
Have you been to USARadio.com? The latest breaking stories, the hottest news, and the best radio all in one place. It's available for free on your smartphone, on your computer, and you can listen with your Bluetooth-enabled car. You can listen to classic radio theater. Daybreak USA with Angie Austin and my new show that takes you from online to on air, your news feed on the radio, Trending Today USA with Rusty Humphries. Check it out, USARadio.com. That's USARadio.com.
Federal prosecutors are setting up a new round of interviews about Hillary Clinton's emails as Secretary of State. The Los Angeles Times says investigators will interview some of Clinton's closest longtime aides. The investigation is focused on whether the Democratic presidential frontrunner mishandled classified information on the private email server she used during her time as Secretary of State. The LA Times source says the interviews and review of the case will stretch through most, if not all, of the remaining presidential primaries. A group trying to force a recall of Michigan Governor Rick Snyder has started working to collect roughly 790,000 signatures of registered voters in the next 60 days. The organization wants the governor out of office due to the Flint water crisis. Did you know it's National Kidney Month? Doctors say they're trying to raise awareness about the best way to keep these vital organs healthy.
Adopt the sort of heart-healthy, overall healthy lifestyle that we recommend, for example, to ward off heart disease. So this includes making sure that you're eating a healthy diet, making sure that you have a good weight, and that your blood pressure is well-controlled.
Scientists are keeping a close eye on a volcano in Alaska's Aleutian Islands after it erupted over the weekend, sending ash 20,000 feet into the sky. The volcano is about 600 miles southwest of Anchorage. The eruption doesn't pose any significant danger, but the U.S. Geological Survey is paying close attention to see whether the ash plume threatens aviation over Alaska. This is USA Radio News.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County. The weather this afternoon is a chance of rain, mainly before 3 p.m., and then it'll be partly sunny with a high near 58. West winds 10 to 16 miles an hour. The chance of precipitation is 40%, with precipitation amounts less than a tenth of an inch. Tonight it'll be partly cloudy with a low around 36. Breezy with the west winds 20 to 23 miles an hour, with gusts as high as 41 miles an hour. Tuesday will be sunny with a high near 54. Breezy with the northwest winds 15 to 23 miles an hour and gusts as high as 33 miles an hour. Tuesday night it'll be clear with a low around 27. Northwest winds 5 to 9 miles an hour, becoming calm after midnight. Wednesday will be sunny with a high near 56. Calm winds becoming south 5 to 8 miles an hour in the afternoon. Wednesday night it'll be partly cloudy with a low around 38.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Good afternoon and welcome to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and my co-host is Carol Ricard. And we are here, compliments of the Hunterton County Chamber of Commerce. And our show is Mental Health Matters. And it is NAMI Hour. NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness. There is a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the Union, and overseas. In Hunterton County, we're all volunteers. We have no paid staff. We have no office. We work out of our houses. You know, we use our own phones, that sort of thing. But we try to help people who have either someone in their family or someone they're close to or someone they know from work or next-door neighbor who has a mental health issue. We do this by teaching classes. We have a 12-week family-to-family class, which covers medications, side effects of meds, what to do, what not to do, how to handle people in crisis, and it's everything is free. Everything we do is free. There is no charge. We run a support group every third Thursday of every month at 52 East Main Street in Flemington, and it's from 7 to 8:30. And we do various other educational programs. We have presentations we do. We do programs for a thing called Educating the Educators, because in this society, a lot of times both parents work and don't get home to work for, you know, late afternoon or late evening. So a lot of times the teachers are the ones who spend most of the time with the child during the day. And we try to get them to more cognizant of what they should look out for and what they can see. So anyway, that's what we're doing. And today we're Carol and I are going to talk.
That's
right,
it.
Carol?
Yep. We're just going to talk.
Yeah.
Something we can both do really well.
Yeah. So we've been told.
Yeah. Well, I think it goes along with having lots of experience, though, in the topic at hand.
I think so. I think that it helps, you know, because when you first start out, you're not doing that, you know, You're like, yeah.
It's a whole different language. As I was sitting listening to you, I was thinking about, you know, what NAMI does for family members and, you know, friends, and that there's just like, it's like you land on a foreign, you know, like planet.
Oh, yeah.
And it's this whole different world. And, you know, and you guys are kind of the navigators. You're good at being able to help guide somebody through what that process is.
Well, you know, like, we often say to people that when my wife and I were going through it initially, we had no clue. Yeah. We never heard of NAMI. Yeah. We didn't even know what it was or yeah. where we could turn for help or what help that was out there. So yeah. to let people know what is available to them, I think, is a big step. Sometimes they make use of it and sometimes they don't, but that's their choice.
Yeah.
As long as they know what's out there, that's their choice whether they use it or not. So
sometimes people got to, you know, kind of try it a few times and then kind of say, oh, okay, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm kind of, you know, having been a provider in the mental health field and also the person with the lived experience on
right.
the side of the illness, I met many people. It took like 3, 4, 5 times in a hospital before number 6 that was like, oh, so I'm just never giving up hope because I know that
something
comes around.
I agree.
Yeah.
It's just that, you know, sometimes people are in crisis and they
get through the crisis.
Yeah, they have to get through the crisis to do anything else,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know, and sometimes, unfortunately, I have to say this, sometimes families just don't get it.
Right.
And, you know, it's like they tell the person who's ill, snap out of it, go out, get a job, you know,
yep.
you know, and a person would love to snap out of it and go out and get a job, but physically can't,
yep. Yep.
you know, and
if it were only that easy.
Yeah. You know, but, and it's not that they don't want
right.
to get a job or snap
mm-hmm.
out of it. It's just that they can't,
yep.
you know,
yep.
but anyway,
yeah. Yeah.
You and I go back a ways.
Me
I've been
too.
Thinking. Yeah.
yeah.
It's been back a few years.
Back to starting on the board.
Yeah, yeah.
The mental,
health,
health board.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's been a while.
Well, yeah, because I did my 6 years, you know.
Yeah, so did I. And
we're
now
the
I'm
only,
in my second term.
I think we were the only board in the state that were, you know, being kind of compliant with our rules.
Yeah.
So.
But, yeah, I did 6 years, and then I had to be off for at least 2.
You had to be off 2, and now you're back?
Now I'm back on.
Yep, and I'm off.
I'm on, except for the 12 weeks that my wife and I are teaching a class. So.
You haven't learned to be 2 places at one time yet. They don't have that technology yet.
No, not yet. Yeah. I know that when, after you left the board, you came back to the board with Project.
Yep.
And I can't remember what it was, and I apologize.
Well, that's all right. I came back. I actually brought 2 projects to the board. The
okay.
first one, which is kind of a more immediate kind of project, is there is a thing called Gardens of Hope. And the Gardens of Hope was started by a woman who's lost her father, you know, to suicide back when she was, I guess, in her 20s. And she is on a mission to rebrand depression. She said when she went to go do an internet search, you know, to learn a little bit more about what her father was going through, everything was gloom and doom and, you know, no talk, and now we're going back some years. But so she decided that, you know, there is hope. And that so for 350 million people in the world that have to kind of suffer with depression, that there's really hope. And she has a pretty big agenda. I mean, she's kind of involved at the UN because mm-hmm. depression is something that doesn't just strike here in the United States.
Of course not.
But I think the World Health Organization, it is the number one when it comes to disability, most disabling disease worldwide.
Right.
is depression. So she started a few years ago this project of planting sunflowers and to kind of help raise awareness And it's, I think it started out, you know, just a couple parks, and then I went to a couple colleges, and the idea that sunflowers being kind of like a new symbol for depression, you know, because it kind of turns towards the sun, it's bright, it's kind of hardy and resistant, and it can kind of take a beating and come on back. And so what she did was, she actually has a website. It's called ifred.org. Somebody once thought her father's name was Fred when I shared that with him, but it's not. She actually started this organization called the International Federation for Research and Education on Depression. So that's the IFREDS, and really pretty amazing. They have gone into schools. She's kind of based out of Chicago, Illinois.
Okay.
They actually have Schools for Hope, or Hope for Schools. They actually have a program that's an evidence-based, that hope is something that we can nurture and build. It's actually a muscle, kind of, more or less. Mm-hmm. So what you do is, in May, because it's Mental Health Month, you plant, you know, find a garden or just a little space and plant some sunflowers. And they actually have a sign on their website you can print out and laminate it and kind of use it as awareness, generating awareness that, you know, depression affects a lot of people, but that you also can have some hope because you, with treatment, you can get better.
Right.
So last year she had tried to do a global day of hope in one day, but this year they're just sticking with the gardens. And so I actually have a couple wellness centers that are going to be doing it with collaborative support programs of New Jersey. And so just a really awesome way of raising the level of awareness.
Right.
Plus sunflowers are just so cool.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing because when we do presentations, and we do a monthly one for educational services, we start out with a PowerPoint thing of all these people, these famous people, with depression or a mental illness of some sort.
Yeah.
And a lot of it's depression.
Yeah.
And I always never fail to point out the three that just boggle my mind. Buzz Aldrin.
Yeah.
Astronaut walked on a moon suffers from major depression.
Yep.
Winston Churchill.
Yep.
Carried England on his back for 7 years. He had major, major depression.
Yeah.
Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson would not come into a room that had six or seven people.
Wow.
He would talk from a balcony to 5,000 people, but he wouldn't go into a room that had six or seven. When he was writing the Declaration of Independence, and if you want to follow up on that, anybody, go to Philadelphia and take the Freedom Trail walk, and they will tell you all about Thomas Jefferson and his quirks. When he was writing the Declaration of Independence, he would get a hold of Ben Franklin.
Yeah.
They'd meet on an isolated corner late at night.
Wow.
Jefferson would hand him what he had written. Franklin, the next morning, would take it into the Continental Congress.
And read it. Yeah.
You know, Jefferson would go back to his home or apartment, wherever he was, and he'd write some more. A couple of days later, he'd do the same thing. He'd get a hold of Franklin. They'd meet on a deserted street corner. He'd hand him the thing. Franklin would go in. You know, Jefferson would go back home. So,
boy, you just taught me something. I didn't know that at all about Thomas Jefferson. Wow.
It's a really awesome thing they have up there. If you go up to Philadelphia, if you have some time someday.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go do that.
And you take that. It's a Freedom Trail walk. And it's just awesome. It really is. But they will tell you about Thomas Jefferson and exactly what I just said.
Wow.
Because that's where I learned it.
It's, you know, when you were saying Jefferson, I mean, the one I've used as a teaching point has always been Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
You know, and I knew that I had read there was a place he spent 6 months in bed, because back then they didn't have any medications or, you know, the treatments that they had. Quite honestly, there's some that have been super, super scary through the years. And, you know, that he, you know, just the number of times he'd actually failed and struggled with depression and yet didn't give up, you know. And I think that's the, You know, that's the idea of the sunflowers is, you know, just don't give up, you know, to kind of have hope that there can be an answer for you out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, for me, I started working in the field 23 years ago. And, of course, it was when I was diagnosed 23 years ago. But, boy, I look at how, you know, just how so we have so much more options than we used to have, you know, back then. Wow.
You know, it's still... There's still such a stigma attached to mental illness that it's just amazing that, you know, yes, it's come quite a ways in 20-some-odd years. Not far enough.
No, though. The treatment has come a long
way. The treatment has come a long
the
way.
The stigma is, yeah, no. Actually, you know what? I heard something very interesting just last week that SAMHSA was here in doing a visit in New Jersey. And one of the committees I sit on, one of our chairs sent me an email saying that SAMHSA does not use the word stigma anymore. They use the word discrimination. And I got to tell you, I kind of like it because the word stigma means different things to different people. But when you hear the word discrimination, there's just one thing that comes to mind. Mm-hmm. And it's trying to end the discrimination that, you know, people experience. So... yeah, I like the change in strategy because it's you could say one word and it means the same thing to everybody. I always had problems with the word stigma because say it to somebody that's living with a mental illness, you know, and they have one idea of what stigma is and somebody else might have a different idea of what stigma is. And actually, that's where NAMI, you know, they're kind of are leading in that area too because the In Our Own Voice.
Right.
You know, research has shown that it's contact and education that changes stigma.
See, I can't stand the use of the word consumer.
Oh, me neither.
When they talk about yeah. people with mental illness.
Yeah, me neither.
I mean, you know,
yeah.
you don't have a special name for somebody with diabetes.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
or cancer or, yeah. you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And, you yeah. know. I just can't stand the word consumer. Yeah. In fact, I almost refused.
Yeah.
I refuse to use it unless I have to read it at some place
right.
or whatever. You
right.
know, but,
me too. And yeah. I my word is, you know, live with a mental health condition.
Right.
You know, because – and I guess is I also stay away from – I don't say to people I have a mental illness. I say I have a mental health condition because you don't say physical illness. Like we don't use in the same language. We don't say, oh, I have yeah. a physical illness. You say – you know, I have diabetes or I have high blood pressure right. or, but yeah, I'm a big believer language is important, you know, and, consumer, I never got that one.
No, I never died. No. And the first time I heard it, it didn't register in my brain. Like, what are they trying to say? You know,
I think when you think, I also think a consumer, it's like a choice. You get a choice of what you want to buy and to be, right?
Right. And consume.
Yeah. Nobody, you know, that's living with a mental health condition would choose to
no.
consume.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely no one, you know.
Yeah.
But, I do believe we have come a long way. I don't think we've come far enough.
Yeah, nope.
By any stretch, but I do think we've come a long way,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, you know, and it's, I think a lot of times it's people, the economy, the way it is right now, and, you know, they're so intent on, oh, you got to get a job, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do the other. And a lot of times people with mental health conditions want to get jobs. It's not that
right.
they don't want to. It's that they can't,
yeah.
you know. And it's just.
There was a day I remember back when, you know, I say that my own recovery happened inside out because 23 years ago, my higher power put me to work in a psychiatric hospital as a rec therapist. I knew nothing about psychiatric recreation therapy, nothing. But I got the job because of who I knew.
Yeah.
And she told me she could teach me, and she did. But I remember, you know, when it really got really bad, there were days I'd go to work and I couldn't stay. I had to turn around and come home. And there were days where I just didn't even get to work.
Yeah.
And it had nothing to do with me not wanting to be there because I loved my job. it was just, you can't function.
It's sad, actually, you know. But I know it's, you know, my son is just, April will be a year. He's been working part-time at BJ's, and he loves it.
I was going to say, he's probably loving it.
He is. Yeah. He loves it. He works 3, sometimes 4 days a week, and 6 hours when he works, and that's just enough to get him, you know. But it also gives him a reason to get out of bed in the morning, get up and get showered and get, you know, get the bus and, you know. So, it's...
We all want to have some purpose in our life, you know, to get out of bed.
And
to be well enough to get out of bed. So you got to have those two parts together.
Right. Definitely. And he was always somewhat introverted.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've ever been to BJ's, but BJ's, they, on, I think it's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And Sunday, I guess it is also Sunday. Yeah. That they have people who have little carts, and they may be saying, "Oh, hey, I want to try some Mountain Dew."
Oh, the taste testers.
We got a deal on Mountain Dew. You know, you can.
Is that what he does?
That's what he does.
Wow!
And you could see over the last year the difference in him.
Yeah.
Because now he's got to talk to strangers.
Yep.
People he doesn't know.
Yeah.
And ask them if they want to try a cough drop, or they want to try a drink of Mountain Dew, or or try some sausage or something like that. And he's been told that he's one of their best, better salespeople.
Yeah.
So that's awesome, you know.
Yeah, that is. I did not, I mean, I knew he was working part-time, but I didn't know, you know, like, listen, I don't even think I could be a taste tester.
Sure you could. People go over to BJ's to eat lunch.
Around
and see all the tables.
I could go be the tester, but not the person working behind like your son offering the tests because,
Yeah, it's kind of cool, actually.
Yeah, I bet that is. Yeah. He's got to feel proud. You got to feel proud.
Yeah, absolutely, you know.
And there's work. There's work that's gone into that to, for him to get there, too.
Definitely.
Worked pretty hard to get there and keep himself stable.
But,
Wow.
You've been listening to Mental Health Matters. We have to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a few moments. You've been listening to Carol Ricard, my co-host, and my name's Larry Cartwright, and we'll be right back.
100 Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. 100 Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call 100 Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdenhealthcare.org.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. I'm with Carol Ricard, my co-host, and I'm Larry Cartwright. And we've been just talking, actually, the last half hour or so. Carol has a few projects, and one of them she just mentioned was Garden of Hope.
Yep.
Hey, I got it right.
Yeah.
Plant sunflower seeds to help break the stigmatism attached to mental health issues.
Yeah, and if anybody wants to learn more about it, they can go to iFred, just as it sounds, ifred.org.
Okay.
So.
And you've got another project.
I do. I
have
another
couple projects, but let's go to the next
projects. The next project. I'm actually, that project is I am part of an education team around parity and what parity is. And a lot of people, only 4% of Americans know what parity is. But it is such an important topic, and that's why I'm out to educate people about it and doing workshops. You know, for many, 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 many years, our health benefits were not equal. And those of us dealing with mental health issues, pretty much got discriminated against when it came to medical coverage of our benefits. And over the course, actually since the late 1990s, there have been steps to balance that out a little bit. And so in 2008, there was a really important bill that was passed, the parity laws, which was the Paul Wellstone. And I think there's another legislator that goes along with it. I just know it is the mental health and addiction parity laws.
There you go.
And it kind of tried to even the playing field so that, people with mental health conditions really got access to the same kind of treatment and resources as you did with your medical benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, back then, there were still lots of exemptions that allowed people to kind of circumvent that. So I'll give you a couple examples. Back in the day, let's say for my mental health, my insurance plan decided that I needed to have a $1,000 deductible before they would pay for any help or treatment services. But when it came to my physical health, they only had it at $500. So kind of the discrimination, and they set higher deductibles.
Right.
I know you've had this, Larry. You've probably heard of this a lot. But people go for help only to find out that their insurance company says, no, we don't think you need that, or we're not going to pay for you to be in the hospital, or, we're not going to pay for any more sessions with your psychiatrist or your therapist.
Right.
And so that kind of denial of care, and it's always, I say it's like the Wizard of Oz. If you saw the scene where the wizard was behind the curtain and he thought, this big, powerful, basically hiding. And that's unfortunately what has happened over the course of time with insurance plans.
Yep.
They could say no, but then they never had to tell you why they said no.
Right.
And so what's really amazing is the Affordable Care Act actually strengthened the parity laws. And so the idea is that now our physical insurance, so for our medical surgical benefits, need to be even, Stephen, with our mental health benefits, mental health and substance use. So both of those. It's just pretty amazing. And what I learned last week was even more exciting was because, of course, anytime you make a change in a law, they want to know how much is it going to cost before they do anything about it. And apparently it was President Clinton back in 97 who first introduced the idea that for federal employees that there had to be parity, that they had to have equal benefits for their mental health. And that is what they used as the case studies to show that by offering it, insurance plans wouldn't have to spend that much more money.
Right.
And so it was really interesting to think it's kind of been around since 97, but just now kind of getting put into practice.
And where is it now? I mean, actually.
Well, the law is pretty good. I mean, it's actually, but people don't know about it. So let's say, for example, I actually have an example in the presentation I do where I talked about a woman who had a history of bipolar disorder, and then she also had some cardiovascular issues, and she ended up over the course of the year having a stroke. And so she actually was recovering from the stroke, going to physical therapy, actually just about every week since she'd had her stroke. And then, of course, her mental health took a little dip, you know, like it, of course, would. And so she was seeing her therapist a little bit more often. And then her psychiatrist she saw once every 3 months. So she got a letter from her insurance company saying that they weren't going to pay for any more treatment to see her therapist. And she kind of, you know, looked at it. She pulled out her calendar and she looked and she counted it up. And she said, you know, that she'd been to see her therapist 10 times so far that year. But the physical therapist that they would pay up to 26 visits for her to go to physical therapy. So really, under the parity law, she knew she had them. Because if they will pay for 26 visits to see a physical therapist, they also have to pay for 26 visits to see a mental therapist. And that's an example of, you know, but if you don't know, then you just kind of say, oh,
sure,
they're not going to pay for it. I'm not going to have it. So it's really just a really, really important subject that, you know, everybody needs to just kind of know about.
To fight for it sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the sad part.
Yeah. Well, I think the more you don't know what you don't know, you know, and I'm just a firm believer that insurance plans, they kind of deny any claims just so you'll get frustrated and give up and they can keep more of the money.
I don't disagree with you.
And so it's really, you know, but you know, too, that when you're in a place that your mental health is not very well, it makes it really hard to function.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
Absolutely.
You know, so I've kind of said is, you know, where I'm doing my presentations is, and anybody, you know, they're free. I go to anywhere, employers, I've done healthcare providers, actually social workers even, because nobody really knows about this. It's been such a well-kept secret. And the law is there. Now it's up to us to make sure that it gets followed.
Now, how do we get it out to the public?
Well, talking about this right here, right now. And, you know, the organization that I'm actually working with is the Depression and Bipolar Support Alliance, which have actually partnering with NAMI and Mental Health Association of America to go down to Hill Day in June. Mental
Where?
Health. Oh, that's another project. once a year, actually, go down to Washington, D.C. to meet with congressmen and the senators.
Yeah, but you didn't say Washington, D.C.
Yeah, what Hill Day. Hill Day.
Hill Day.
Yeah, Capitol Hill. So.
Oh. Yeah. Sorry about that. It went over my head.
Yeah. But, you know, but it's in, and just, you know, even hearing the word and knowing what it is, there's some great resources that are on the internet. The Kennedy, you know, the Kennedy has just been really a spearhead of that as well. So the Kennedy Forum, or even just Googling parity. Somebody did an internet search. There's at least so much information out there, too, that's good information.
Right.
And, you know, you don't know what you don't know.
But unfortunately, we have to get the word out there.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the idea behind coming up with some, you know, kind of an education team, is to go out and do this. And it was great. I actually did two workshops this last week. I was at Carrier Foundation for a support group there afterwards. And then I was down in Jackson at a DBSA support group down there. And So I don't, anybody get a hold of me? What's the best way to get a hold of me?
I don't know if you tell us.
Best way to get a hold of me is I actually have a nice 800 numbers. 888 Life Tools.
Hey.
That's easier enough to remember.
There you go.
Yeah, no, I'm here to, you know, kind of work with whoever would love to have me come. And it's about a 35-45 minute, but if I have to make it shorter, I do. I kind of like a little bit of the cake is better than not having the whole pie.
Exactly. So. Exactly.
Yeah.
Do you want to speak a little bit about Well University?
Well University, yes. Well, so 23 years ago, I started working in a hospital, and as a rec therapist, I felt like I used to give people the tools to get well, you know, and they're the same tools I use to help myself get well. So my dream has always been to take those tools beyond the hospital. So 2008, I decided to form a company. I called it Well University, W-E-L-L, and then Y-O-U-N-I-V-E-R-S-T-Y, because I think that people you don't know what you don't know, and you shouldn't have to get sick enough that you end up in a hospital to learn how to get well. So I created this company, Well University, really to empower people with the tools and resources for lifelong wellness. You know, I kind of think that we all have wellness inside of us. Sometimes it gets buried by different things. It could be your physical health, your mental health. But you got to have some tools and a shovel to kind of dig out.
Exactly.
So, and so Well University. So in the meantime, I've gotten 10 books published, and I'll have a few more that are in my head. Actually, the next one out is going to be called Health 2.0, and just taking a whole different approach to health. So,
if people wanted to know which books you wrote, what is the website or?
I mean, the easiest thing is probably Amazon, you know. If you just Google, like type in, you know, my name on Amazon, which is Carol, and then R-I-C-K-A-R-D, that's how you spell Ricard, I'll pop. And there are Kindle versions too, which I'm quite proud of, because my books have a different format. You know, I don't know if you've ever actually got to lay your eyeballs on them. But
well, you gave me three of them.
They're designed to be a very easy read. I call it smart theory. And so it's lots of space and pictures and different text so that it's more of a visual kind of experience than just reading.
Right.
And that was because, boy, when my depression was the worst, I would read one sentence, get to the end of the sentence, and not remember what I started the sentence with. So pictures your brain holds and processes a little differently. And that was really the whole idea. That's what started it. So, but because they're formatted differently, you know, I couldn't just do Kindles the way everybody else did. So I was finally able to come up with a way that I'm an old school. I got to put my fingers on the pages of
that's
a book.
That's me. Go to the library and get a book. You know?
Yeah. But I know some people, gosh, they're just as passionate about their electronic readers.
Oh, yeah. Which is fine. I mean, if that's what you're into.
Yeah.
But that's not me.
Yeah, not me either.
People say, you want Facebook? I know.
Yeah.
Not Twitter? No, I don't even know what Twitter is, you know. But it's just, that's the way it is.
You know what, Larry? I just thought of another really important subject probably it'd be good to talk about. Right now, Medicare, they started Part D. I don't know when they started it, but there was a time if you were on, you know, say Social Security disability or, you know, kind of your Social Security because you were age appropriate.
Right.
When Medicare started prescription benefits, they call it Part D for drug benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, they protected six kinds of medications because they're the kind of medicines that don't work the same for everybody. And when it comes to antidepressants, and even this word, antipsychotics, or, you know, not the same medicine is going to work for everybody.
Right.
And so you have to have access to all of those medicines in order to figure out which one's really going to work. Last year, as a part of cost saving, there was rumblings that they were going to take away the status. And so there's actually a bill that's somewhere in Congress, you know, like floating around in there. Hasn't made it anywhere. But more recently, the Medicare Part D's kind of advisory panel is now making a recommendation to take off antidepressants from the protected class. And if they do that, that is going to affect a lot of people because sometimes people have to go through those brand names. And maybe I only got to the third medicine before it worked. But I know there are a lot of people that it takes to get to the fourth or the fifth, you know, medication
right,
to find
exactly.
one that works. And so now it's at risk of, you know, kind of becoming an unprotected class. And yeah, it's and so if anybody is listening and they know anybody that has Medicare Part D or just, you know, care about people, there is we actually have, you know, one of those little email internets. And mm-hmm. be honest with you, I hadn't seen anything come from NAMI just yet, but I might have missed it, you know, because NAMI is always really good from the state. Office
right,
sending
right.
out those little email things and say, click this button and send this email off to your senator or whoever.
Right.
But so DBSA actually has a letter like that. And it's actually at their website. And I'm going to give you the website because you can go right there, plug in your zip code and boop, kind of click the send button. So it's DBSALLIANCE.org. And then /, one of those little doohickeys, and then mm-hmm. take action. And that'll get you to the page where you could actually do that. But there is a April 7th deadline that we're trying to get as many letters as we can to the person that heads this sort of committee, this advisory panel, just to get them to say, no, don't mess with this. And it's not just antidepressants. It's actually immunosuppressants. So people that have had like organ transplants or just have diseases
right.
that affect
right.
their immune systems like lupus. The idea is that these are specific types of diseases that don't affect everybody the same way, you know, and you have to have a variety of medicines available in order to really get somebody well. So yeah, it's, yeah.
I love the government.
Want
to give that email address
yes.
again?
It's DBSALLIANCE.org. So it's DBSALLIANCE.org /, take action. And it'll get you to the spot where you could click a button. And
okay.
I think the more letters that we could flood them with, the better.
I agree.
Because I think, you know, one voice, two voices, but when you can get enough voice, there's power in voices.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's right.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's where we're getting better in mental health, too, is bringing all these different voices together.
Well, that's what we, you know, tell people, you know, to join NAMI, because when they go down to Trenton to fight for these issues, and they say, well, we have 200 members. You know, the politicians yawn and look
yep.
at the sky and all that, you know. But you go down there and say you got 4,000 members.
Yep.
Now all of a sudden they start listening, you know. And so you can join NAMI. If you can't afford the $35 fee, you can join for nothing, you know.
Just get your voice. Just,
right.
just be a
it's
voice
just a
that
matter
matters.
Of,
yep.
Right. Getting the voice out there, you know. And, well, yeah, I just think that, you know,
Don't get me started on politics.
No politics. No, we were politics. Talking about that before.
Yeah, no politics.
But using your voice, you know, when you can. And
right.
This is definitely kind of the time that, you know, to kind of say, no, that's not okay.
No, it's not. You know.
And, you know, and that it you know, it's just, yeah. So we got April 7th, you know, so I don't think I've sent you an email yet. I'm going through my email, sending out the letter, telling people to send it. And I'm like you, I'm not much of a Facebooker, you know, but
yeah.
I'm trying to learn. You know.
Good for you.
Yes, well, I saw somebody introduce me to Instagram yesterday, too. And that's the thing where you take pictures. And
yeah. Okay.
I'm not a picture taker.
Okay. Well.
But if you think about it, for you know, individuals who kind of tend to be isolated, Facebook, the computer, is a great way of being safely. You were telling about right. Thomas Jefferson. Well, this is a way of connecting to people without having to, you know, be around them, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it yeah. actually is, could be an amazing tool, just not for you or I.
No. But we are looking for somebody that would like to do the Facebook and Twitter thing for the radio, you know.
Yeah.
Our good member of our board, Shay Dibley, he does the he does a Facebook for Nami Hunterton and puts the guests on who we're going to have and, you know, on yeah. Facebook. But,
oh, that's good.
You know. So keep up the good work, Shay.
You yes, know. Thank you. Thank you.
Is there anything else you'd like to talk about?
I don't know. You got me talking about a lot of things.
Yeah, I know. What are you doing at Capital Health?
What am I doing at Capital Health? Well, you know, I'm actually just still filling in there every now and then as a social worker. You know, I had been at Capital Health, used to have a program called Milestones, which was a short-term partial hospital program.
Okay.
And marvelous. If you don't know what a partial hospital program is, it's kind of like school. People would come to school for 5-6 weeks at the most. And we did 5 classes every single day and just really helped you learn what you needed to do to get well and what you were working. Was it working for you, not working for you? And, you know, unfortunately, they closed it in September of 2014. And, yeah, and I had left full time. I just left before then, but I was still kind of covering vacations. And, you know, so now I'm actually just filling in for the social workers on the inpatient mental health unit. And, boy, it's a good thing there are different people like us that like different things. Because I'll be honest with you, I couldn't do that full time. That is just a very, very
draining.
It's so hard to see people. I like to just see people so sick, and you don't get to see them get well anymore in the hospital. You know, you're kind of right. there. Are you not a danger to yourself anymore, Carol? Okay, good. You can go home, you know. And that's, you know, at least where I worked, I got to see people get well, you know, and I got to help you move and get well. But so I they don't take it personal when I told them I would rather flip burgers full time than work there. You know, so they just do an amazing job, you know, just trying to balance out everything. And yeah. Oh, I'm telling you, you know, but it's also been kind of nice because I get to see some of my old clients that I used to
yeah,
work with.
Okay.
So, and I always tell them, listen, I'm glad to see you because at least I know you're someplace safe and healthy, you know, working on getting healthy again.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
I can't think of her name, but there's a, I'm on a board at the hospital and all the representative from all the various hospitals and services and
oh, you go come. To you do SRC meetings.
Yeah,
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah,
and
those are important meetings that you're a part of. Those are called system review committee.
Yes, that's
and
what it is.
And it means that all the systems are talking together, which I think is just an amazing thing. Once a month, right? Is
yep.
it once a
once
month?
Once a month.
All the systems involved in mental health and
third
Hunterton,
Friday of the month.
Yep, come and meet, and they actually do that in other counties as well, and it's great.
Yeah. Well, there was a representative from Capital Health.
Yeah, Carolyn.
Yes, that's her. I couldn't think of her name. I could picture her.
Yeah.
You know, well, exactly what she looks like, but I couldn't think of her name. Yes, as she comes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. She comes because Capitol Health has one bed of the commitment beds for Hunterdon County. And
But they also do Mercer County, too, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah. Mostly commitment beds for Mercer County. Mm-hmm. But, you know, she actually moved on to bigger and better things.
Did she?
Yeah. She's been going to school to become a nurse practitioner.
Oh.
And so she is she's no longer at Capitol Health and actually gone to work for Oaks Integrated, which is an outpatient provider in Mercer County and Burlington County. And they're in a lot of counties, not here in Hunterdon County. But, which, you know, it's marvelous. You're sad. I'm sad to see her go because I really just loved her. But at the same time, to see somebody accomplish, you know, kind of their dream.
What they want.
And going back to school when you're working full time, and especially those nurse practitioners. Oh,
that's
my goodness.
You know, she was very nice.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, she is actually, her love is adolescents. And so she is working with an adolescent services and as an adolescent prescriber for Oaks Integrated.
It was kind of funny because when John Gamblin went off the radio, he was on WOR. I think it was WOR. But anyway, he was on every morning, Monday to Friday. And when he went off the air, the day he went off the air, she says, "I can't stand it. I miss him so badly." You know, I said, "You sound like my wife." You know? I could care less. You know?
Yeah.
So then the following month I came in, she says, "Tell your wife he's on 11 o'clock on such and such a station." You know,
she was looking out for her.
You know, but,
yeah. I didn't know you. That's nice to know you're on that. That meeting.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
It's, you know, it's a lot of different voices that come together, and it's a place, if you've got problems, to kind of talk about them, or at least identify them, put them on the table. So,
and like someone told me from the hospital, I can say things and get away with it that they can't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I'm not employed by them.
Exactly.
I'm a parent, you know, so.
Well, and you represent a perspective that's so important and so critical, you know.
But, you know, like they said, you know, you can say things and get away with it, and we can't. So,
You know, and there's no backlash, you kind of like, as far as, in case you're like referring from one place to another place, and, you know, oh, your referral paper gets lost, or any, you know, those little passive kind of little things.
Right.
Like, you know, you don't want to piss anybody off.
No.
But Larry, he can piss anybody off.
Yep. And do a lot of times. The fellow that runs it, he'll look at me and go, like, say something, you know. You can say something here, you know.
Yeah. So, well, it's because you're a great advocate. I mean, and that's being an advocate.
Sure.
And that's kind of being the voice.
Right.
So.
Right. Well, time has flown by.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, it has.
We went all through it. It's time to move on. You've been listening to Mental Health Matters with Carol LaCard and Larry Cartwright. And we will be back again next week. Same time, same station, Mondays from 2 o'clock. Or if you can't listen to it live, you can listen to the archive section, like tomorrow or late tonight or whatever. And just go to archives on huntertonchamberradio.com, archives section, and click on Mental Health Matters. And you can get today's show tomorrow. See? All this technology.
Yeah. Marvelous.
So just remember, folks, mental health really does matter. We'll see you again next week.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call Nami Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. Nami Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
Loans, you can go through the entire mortgage process on your own and completely online.
Copy that, QL1, but if I wanted to speak to someone, do you think they're out there?
They're out there, all right. Their award-winning client service is beyond anything I've ever experienced.
3, 2, 1.
Rocket Mortgage at QuickenLoans.com. Push button, get mortgage.
Rocket.
Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Number 3030.
Mitt Romney isn't entirely ruling out a run for president, but he's not seeking his party's nomination.
I don't think anyone in our party should say, oh, no. Even if the people of the party wanted me to be the president, I would say no to it. No one's going to say that.
The Republican who lost